Hey everyone, this is Stevie Castanon from MusicalTribe.com, and I'm talking with singer-songwriter and electronic music producer from Northern California, now living in Japan, Brenna von Kleist. Hello, Brenna.
Hello.
So, how did you end up in Japan?
It's kind of a long story, but in university, I was really into learning foreign languages, so I tried out a bunch of different ones, and I ended up liking Japanese the best. And I met a lot of Japanese exchange students, and they were really cool. So they kind of convinced me that I should move to Japan. And I ended up getting a job here after college, and that's why I'm here.
It wasn't a musical choice, then. It was a lifestyle.
No, nope. It was totally, yeah, lifestyle, life turn.
Well, they must have convinced the hell out of you to make you move across the world.
Yeah, but luckily it's a freaking awesome place. So I'm very lucky to have been here.
Did you start out as an electronic musician, or do you have your roots in like piano or guitar?
Well, if you go way back to my childhood, yeah, piano. I started playing piano when I was about 10. My mom bought me this little keyboard thing, and I was copying all the songs that it had in the sound bank. That's kind of how I learned, but I never took lessons, and I never learned how to read music. I just always played everything by ear, and I would make up my own songs and stuff. But then I started playing this game on PlayStation called Music Generator.
Yeah,
and I made so many songs on that thing, like 70 something songs on that
thing. Wow, it's prolific.
Yeah, and believe it or not, as primitive as that thing is, it actually taught me a lot about production and what the basics are. It's so basic, but I actually learned a lot about it. Like, you know, it has, you know, the range view of a actual software, even though it's a PlayStation game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I got that. And then I moved on to Fruity Loops when I was like 14, 15.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, just kept moving up from there.
As an electronic musician, when you're composing, do you tend to get consumed with the technical aspects of learning new software and plugins, or is it organic to you?
No, it's more organic. I mean, I've got plugins that I use all the time, and I like the way that they sound, and they're very user-friendly and easy. Well, mostly, yes. Uh-huh. but I mostly go with, I start off with how I want something to sound, and I play around with it until I get the right sound. I don't really pay attention to numbers until later.
What's your workflow like when you're writing a song? Generally speaking, do you start with beats or bass lines, or do you work stuff around a certain synth sound?
It really depends on what I want to do. If I've got a melody in my head, I will start off with the synth sound, and I'll just make the melody, and I don't really care how I make it. I just get it down, and then I tweak it until I get it to sound the way I have it in my head. But if I have nothing in my head, then I'll just start messing around. Maybe I'll start with a beat, or maybe I'll start singing something. I don't know. It's just, it changes every time I start something new.
Most of your music that you've put out has been instrumental, and then you recently came out with Promises of Pretty Things, which features you on vocal. So what sparked that change?
Well, I've been into singing for a while, but I've been pretty self-conscious about my ability to record myself and also my singing skill. I'm not really all about the singing, so I didn't really know if I should do that. But I was told by a lot of people, after they heard my songs, they all said, "Hey, you need to sing. You should sing." I just caved in eventually. Okay, fine.
On that track, did you sing it over and over? It was like 50 takes, or did you get it in one shot?
Some of them I got in one shot, but if I didn't like the lyrics, I would just change it out. So that kind of goes into how I actually wrote the lyrics, too, is I wrote them while I was recording.
Yeah, I think it's nicely done. It's not oversung. I think it suits you really well. Now, going forward, will the majority of your songs feature vocals?
Yeah, from now on, I'm trying to do that. If I do a remix for somebody, which I've only done one officially, I won't sing on it, but all of my songs in the future, I've kind of decided, yeah, I'm going to sing on all of them now.
In the future, do you plan on doing live shows?
Yes.
Definitely. Do you think it would be just you, or would you assemble a band?
At first, it would be just me. But if it turned out, or if it worked out that I could get a band to do songs for me, to play my songs for me, mm-hmm. that would be awesome. I would love that.
Tell me what Promises of Pretty Things is about.
It's basically about being led on, getting your hopes up about someone, and then being massively let down. And also how a lot of people are kind of all talk and play mind games with you.
Mm-hmm.
Fill you with happiness, tell you all the things that make you feel really good. And then, you know, they don't actually show you that they care. They're just talking.
Uh-huh. So this is a true story.
Yeah, it is. Yes.
And does this person know about this song?
No, of course not. They don't know it's about them.
That'll
or maybe
come later.
They do and they don't care. I don't know.
It's a great 3 a.m. song. You know, like in the middle of the night, just pop that on and just like feel sorry for yourself.
Yes. Best song to make you feel sorry for yourself.
Let's talk about the music video for that song. Mm-hmm. So tell me about the premise of the video. Who came up with that concept?
It was directed by Koji Yamamoto, a friend of mine from California. He's actually from Japan, but he went to school in L.A. for film. And he approached me with the idea, and we started a Kickstarter project. And we actually raised a lot of money to do the music video.
Making videos is not cheap.
It's not cheap, especially in Japan. It's super expensive here. Everything is.
Something always goes wrong in a video shoot. So what went wrong on your shoot?
I don't know if you could tell it's pretty evident, but in the middle of the video, it started raining so bad. That was not on purpose. That was not on purpose at all.
Now, how long did it take to shoot that video?
We did it in 3 days and 3 nights. So the first day was the studio shoot.
Uh-huh.
And that took the entire day. And then the other two, they were all nights. You know, it was all night. For 2 nights.
Now, was that your acting debut?
Yeah, if you want to call it debut, yes, that is. I've never acted before.
Do you feel comfortable in front of the camera?
Now I do, now that I've gotten some practice. But at first I was kind of like, whoa, this is weird. I don't really know what it's like to be in front of a camera or talk to a camera.
And so were you happy with the result?
Yeah, actually, I was pretty proud of what I did. It's been my first time ever doing something like that.
It's good. It looks natural,
I mean,
then.
Even small video projects, I've never really done anything like that.
Tell me about what was going on in the video. So this guy comes along, the guy with the mask. So what is that all about?
It's a little different than what the song is, but it kind of goes along with the being led on meaning. I mean, in the beginning, I get this text from this guy that I don't know. And the point is, you know, Tokyo is kind of a huge city.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the biggest city in the world. And it can get kind of lonely when you're there for too long. And, well, the video is kind of trying to go around that theme of being lonely and just looking for something or someone to change something about your life or to make something exciting for you. So I get this text, and he's telling me to go to these different spots, and I just follow the texts, and then finally I see him, and I chase after him. But in the end, yeah, I'm alone. I find myself in a room with myself.
There was no, like, deeper meaning, like, you looking back on your life, or... Because I wasn't quite sure what that was supposed to be about. I mean, not saying that it's not apparent, but I'm just really stupid.
No. Not that you're stupid. It's kind of the meaning behind it. But in the end, the conclusion is, okay, there's really only me that I can count on. I can't put my trust and my hopes in these other people, no matter who they are, to take me away. Because it's in the end, it's all a dream, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just dreaming. And I have to wake up to reality. And I got to rely on myself. And the person in the studio who's singing at you knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl who's following the guy around, when she shows up in the same room with the other girl, that's kind of when I wake up to reality.
I think everybody did a great job on that video.
Thanks. Yeah, we worked really hard on it. It was it was harder than I thought it was going to be to stay awake and stay alert for all those stuff.
Do you have any other videos planned?
Well, it's kind of on the DL. But yeah, I want to make videos in the future for sure. Probably.
Are you going to have a Kickstarter campaign again? Or?
I don't think I'm going to use Kickstarter again. It was fun. It was a good one shot.
Uh-huh.
Went down that road and we'll try something else next time.
So you could do the whole video on your iPhone.
Yes. We're going to downgrade significantly from red camera to iPhone.
Oh, shot on a red camera. No wonder it looks so good. I want to ask you some personal questions, and don't worry, they're not that personal.
Okay.
But I just want to get inside your heads. What is your favorite guilty pleasure song?
Favorite guilty pleasure song? Well, I have a lot of them. Maybe Phil Collins.
Phil Collins? That's a guilty pleasure?
Yeah, it's kind of embarrassing.
Really?
I mean, no offense, but yeah. My parents used to listen to Phil Collins all the time.
So anything by Phil Collins is embarrassing.
It reminds me of them, yeah.
What is the last profane thing that you've said?
I don't know, something using the F word, but I use the F word a lot. So,
so do I.
I don't want to say the F word on here, but in real life, yeah, I kind of use it too much.
I don't even know if it's profane in my vocabulary anymore. So
you didn't even consider that profane. No.
That's just a nice thing to say. Now, if someone butt dials you, do you hang up or listen?
What is butt dial?
So if somebody has their phone in their back pocket.
I see. Okay.
You've never heard that before?
No. Because, I don't know, we have touch screens and stuff, so I guess that can happen. It hasn't happened to me in a really long time, though. So when it happens, I just ignore it.
So you don't sit there and listen?
No.
I would.
Because usually I can't hear anything. If I could hear something, then yeah, it would be hilarious to drop. But no. Usually it's nothing. It's a bunch of noise.
Give me three songs that you want played at your funeral.
My funeral? Something by Mindless Self-Indulgence. I have so many favorite songs by Mindless Self-Indulgence. It would be absurd if one of their songs was not played at my funeral. Something by Enya, just because. And, George Winston, piano.
Very appropriate.
Or Mariah Carey, one of her older songs.
Mariah Carey.
That might be the most appropriate. Because she was probably the first artist that my ears have ever heard. She debuted when I was born, so it kind of makes sense, I guess.
Tell everyone where they can find you on the web.
You can find my website, brennavk.com. Pretty much everything about me is there. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/brennavk. And also Twitter, Brenna von Kleist.
Great. Well, thanks for talking with me.
Yeah, thank you.